I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy going to give you something to drink now. That's right, broadcasting myself from Puerto Rico, the Isle of Enchantment, with, of course, my producer, Hardwood Forrest Connor, and the Asheville Flagship Studio, along with investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. So tell us, Shelley, how are things going at Wright's Coin Shop?
Crazy busy. It has been wall-to-wall people ever since I got back from Puerto Rico, especially. Metals have taken off, and it's just amazing, and we're buying like crazy as well as selling like crazy, and it's wonderful, just like old times.
The metals are taking off. What's up with the metals now?
I believe it has to do with all the turmoil in Egypt. So things are unfortunately. That's the reason, but gold and silver are going up, and it seems that whenever metals go up, it seems like we sell more of them, rather than when they're going down. but we do still have some things to sell, and we've seen a lot of our collectors. They've been coming in and buying coins, and I love collectors. So we're working on some more things, and we're putting new things out every day.
So that being the case, tell us, how has the new sign affected the shop?
It has been in a positive way. People like the new
sign. You hesitated just a little bit.
I did not hesitate. It has been very good for the shop.
I've seen her new sign. It looks great.
Yes. Forrest and Kelly came to see me, and they loved the new sign.
Yeah, but you still want to be on it, don't you?
You want me to be on it, don't you?
Of course. Of course. Well, okay, I'd rather me be on it. Put me on the sign.
Yeah.
Actually, you probably have more of a chance to get on it than Shelly does.
Well, what do you say that for?
I'm just thinking you might have a better chance of getting on it than she might.
I'll definitely, how about I put on a little Chippendales bow tie and wiggle around a little bit, and we do a photo shoot. Can we do that at your house, Forrest?
Sure, we'll set up the basement for it.
it wouldn't be the first time we've had auditions at your house, would it?
Nope.
Shelley, how can people find you now that you have this glorious new sign? How can they locate Wright's Coin Shop?
Come and see me at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road and look for that huge honking sign at the road.
And that's exit 51.
Exit 51 off of I-40. And they turn left, which is away from Biltmore Estate, at the end of that exit.
Okay, so that's 1271 Sweeten Creek Road there in Asheville, because a lot of tourists are going to start coming to Asheville over the next few months.
Leaf season.
And, And Wright's Coin Shop should be one of the top ones on your list of places to visit. Mm-hmm. And how can people call you, though, if they don't want to travel and they just want to talk to you and do some business over the phone?
They can call me at 828-298-5000. 828-298-5402.
Okay, that's 828-298-5402. We'll repeat that in a minute. Also, there is a Wright's Coin Shop website, WrightsCoinShop.com. No apostrophe in there, WrightsCoinShop.com. There's a Wright's Coin Shop Facebook page, which, by the way, we probably ought to get the website updated with the Facebook page on it, huh?
Probably so, and yeah. And just as soon as we can get our internet connection at the shop, we'll put some more stuff on the website.
See, it's a good old-fashioned business they do there at Wright's Coin Shop. That's
yes.
why you get a good deal.
Yes.
And let me just say, you know, Pete Shepard, who built the site there for Wright's Coin Shop, he also is the guy who built the Puppy Fest site, and in fact, he's working on updates as we speak. I can't thank Pete Shepard enough. He is a great web designer. He's very talented. He has reasonable prices. He wants you to be happy. And if any of you listening to this show need the website developed, email me and I'll forward your information on to Pete Shepard. And you can email me there at joshuapwarren.com. You'll find an email address. Just scroll down and I'll be more than happy to send it along. So that number again for Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. Shelly, how many business cards do you hand out?
You know, I don't know. And they're not my personal business cards. They have my parents' name on them. I don't know.
A guy in Minnesota got in trouble for his business cards. Apparently, he dropped a business card and the cops picked it up. And his business card said, gangbang organizer. Gangbang organizer. See, that's the one thing that's missing from my business card. You know, there's a lot of info on my bio. I've got, you know, I don't know what I've got. Author, producer, Sunshine Simple. No, I should have gangbang organizer in there. That would get people's attention. You're going to keep a card that says that.
I don't think that it really means that naughty thing that you think that it means.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it does. I've got the story right here.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Cops got the scoop on the gangbang business when this guy dropped his business card at a hotel where he was planning group sex parties.
Ew. Kind of fancy.
Yeah.
Tacky for a business card. Ew.
Well, I mean, come on, it's a higher quality thing. He was doing it at the Quality Inn.
Higher quality thing, really?
Yeah, the Quality Inn.
Uh-huh.
The name says it all, right? Quality Inn, it's a quality gangbang. And, yeah, apparently there were some cops who were tipped off to this guy, his name is Scott. The gangbang organizer was doing this sort of thing, and so some undercovers showed up. They had to hand over a $20 donation, and then they were told that they could tag team her at the same time.
Oh.
Yeah, they warned the cops that she's a little tired. She's working on a record. Yeah. And I can't even read some of the stuff in this story, but basically the cops go into the room and they say, here's a woman there. She's on the bed next to an ice bucket, which is about half full of prophylactics, and a number of used ones around. And over the bed was an LED sign, which was actually a counter displaying the number 30, displaying the number 31. And apparently every time that a man became engaged, you would get another ching, you know, another
now serving
tick. Yeah.
And
the explanation is that, well, it was her 45th birthday. So obviously she wanted to be with 45 men. So when you come in, you get to hit the button, and then you have to leave and come back in because, you know, it's only one smack for customer. But, yeah, that's Minnesota. Gangbang organizer.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. You know, they're all kind of wacky up there, aren't they? Like Kuka, she's from there.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. That explains it all. Here's a story from Pensacola. Ah, there we go, Florida. you know how sometimes you see people begging on the side of the road? They're homeless. Well, apparently there's been an issue in Florida, in Pensacola, with this woman who's begging on the side of the road for bigger boobs. And she's not homeless. She's not even poor. She just says, quote, "I just want bigger boobs because I'm not happy with the ones that I have. And I figured that this was a good way to do it. People put out signs that they're homeless. I'm not, but I'm just being honest," end quote. She says that she wasn't sure what kind of reaction that she would get, but apparently she's been collecting quite a bit of money and plenty of smiles and laughs as well. See, that's a good idea. See, when the economy's down, we should actually turn this from the dark 30 hour into, like, the economic hour, where we tell you, here's what the rest of the citizens are doing to get by. You got to get, you got to get your business card. You got to get, you know, you got to put something catchy on there. You got to say gangbang organizer. You got to stand out on the side of the road with your, you know, give me money for my boobs. It works. It works. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, oh my goodness, what do we have here? Oh, this is even worse. It's another Florida story. Here we go again. This is one of those that makes you, you're like, really? I'm Joshua P. Warren. Actually, you know what? We got a couple more minutes.
More minutes, Mr. Warren.
Oh, okay. I was looking at the wrong segment. Okay, I guess I'll go ahead and get into this one then. This is from Boynton Beach, Florida. Okay. A Florida mother and daughter duo have been arrested for soliciting two-for-one deals. Yeah. They say the woman, the mother, is 43, and her daughter, who is 24, have been advertising their little special there at a classified site. It costs $160. I read this, and Forrest, as much work as I've done on the Internet, I just recently went to Craigslist for the first time ever. Do you do a lot on Craigslist?
I've done a couple of things on Craigslist.
I'm sure you've gone and looked at the personal ads, right?
I've taken a look at them, yes.
You have to do it. It's fun. I looked at the personal ads, and I was shocked. And that's saying a lot for me.
I know.
You, have I mean, you seen some of this stuff?
Anything and everything.
You just go and you post an ad. Okay, now we're coming up on that break.
When we
come back, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to try. It might be too much for the radio. I'm going to try to tell you something that I saw on Craigslist. And then I've got this horrible story here from Massachusetts about a priest who's trying really, really hard to save souls. We call this the Dark 30 Hour for a reason. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
The neighborhood was changing. Stranger
hour on Speaking of Strange, the show that explores the summit of mankind's enlightenment and, yes, the pit of his depravity. This is the hour when we get as deep down in the pit as we can go. And that's why we tell you, turn off the radio if you are easily offended, if there are kids around. This is when we talk about some of the more sordid and seedy stuff. So you may not want to hear that, and if so, I understand completely. Maybe later there'll be something of a higher caliber on. Speaking of Dark 30, Forrest, Art Bell's coming back to the radio. Dark Matter is going to be his show.
I heard that. It's going to be on the Sirius XM, right?
That's right, Sirius XM. And we thought about putting in a pitch to get on Sirius XM. Maybe we should. Maybe our listeners should do that. Say, Sirius, we want to hear this.
That or send it to Art Bell himself. Send a request to him.
Well, I'm happy as hell that he's coming back on the radio, because I'm going to use this as an opportunity somehow to get him to talk some about the alien that we have at the museum.
Right.
You know, the Carville, the alien. And because Art, he wrote a letter about his history with it, and we have that posted with the alien, and he signed it, and we have pictures of him with it. But I haven't heard him ever talk about it on the air. And, of course, we have tons of tourists who are coming in, taking our Haunted Asheville ghost tours, and they're going to the Asheville Mystery Museum, because we're the only tours that offer that, because, you know, same organization. And I'm going to try to get onto Art's show or have him on this show, however it works out, and get him to talk a little bit more about Carville the Alien. In fact, Vance Pollock, who is our chief historian at the museum, has made some headway and actually discovered the man who made the alien.
Really?
The man who carved Carville. So I'm planning on maybe getting him on the show at some point, but he's been traveling in Asia, so he's a little bit out of the loop right now. But yeah, if you want to see a picture of Carville, Art Bell's alien, go to hauntedasheville.com, hauntedasheville.com. So, Forrest, you know, during the break, I was telling you what I was talking about, that, you know, I went to Craigslist, and I saw these extremely graphic pictures of people's genitals, and that didn't even, you know, I was surprised by that. I was shocked by that. But the more disturbing thing was when I go to this posting in Waynesville, North Carolina, which is, that's, you know, good old rural country, and there's an old grandpa-looking guy there who's taking a picture of himself. He's got a gray beard. And I can't even say what he was advertising, but he was essentially saying, I'm old now, I have diabetes, I can't do this and that and the other, if you catch my drift. But there's one thing I can do for you. Need I say more?
Hmm.
Now, And it wasn't just like, hey, ladies. No, it was not that. It was.
So you're saying Viagra does not help this guy? Is that what you're saying?
Viagra doesn't, but he wants to be Viagra for others. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
For other.
Well, for other men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a story from Massachusetts. A high-ranking Catholic priest has been busted, they say. He was hanging out a lot with prostitutes, performing blessings, that's what he said, and a lot of blessings. Said that he was trying to save their souls. So, you know, the cops said that he would definitely give them money and hang out with them a lot. And maybe it's true, right? Because, hey, Jesus hung out with prostitutes. But that didn't explain the act they caught him doing in a parking lot. So they say that the Holy Spirit was strong with that one. Okay, next story. Mile High Club. I've never been tempted to join the Mile High Club.
That seems... Maybe it has to do with the fact that one time I was on an airplane that dropped so suddenly that for about 3 seconds I watched a flight attendant float. And I can envision a lot of unpleasant situations happening if you're engaged in some type of inappropriate activity and the plane drops very suddenly. But it says here a couple was heading to Las Vegas, and boy, they just wouldn't give it up. I mean, they're in a regular passenger jet here. The first thing that happens is the woman, you know, she starts doing stuff to the man. And then the man starts doing stuff to the woman. They reach a certain, you know, point where it seems like they're satisfied. But then the guy starts taking off the woman's clothes, and she starts taking off his clothes. And this goes back and forth. They just were going to just have a series of inappropriate interactions here. And basically it got to the point where a staff member had to come to them and say, "We're going to tie you down." They had some, like, zip ties. "We're going to tie you down right now if you don't stop doing this." And as soon as the plane landed, the couple was escorted off the plane by the police. They've been charged with all kinds of things. It's weird. Weird that people would want to do that. You hear stories about people wanting to go into little airplane bathrooms and do that. Well, I can hardly even stand up in an airplane bathroom. It's like being crammed into a cubbyhole. I can't imagine having another person in there. Two very small people. I don't know. Shelley, have you been on a big airplane with a big bathroom?
No. Nope. Sure haven't. Tiny bathroom for a tiny person.
I'm not even going to ask Forrest, because Forrest and I, we're both big strapping men. Here's from Gilroy, California. Naked man attempts to steal baby. Yeah. Says here, this guy goes into a restaurant, the Longhouse Restaurant. Yeah, naked man in a Longhouse Restaurant. At 10 in the morning, and patrons say that this guy, well, they look and they're obviously amazed to see that there's a naked man just walking around acting erratic. The next thing you know, he grabs somebody's baby and takes off with it. The patrons in the restaurant had to jump on the 42-year-old man and wrestle him to the ground. They saved the baby, and he's in a medical center receiving further treatment. Okay. Next story. Told you we had a little pile here. Next story comes from Bloomington, Indiana. They arrested a 19-year-old man for chasing motorists completely naked. They say that he was yelling and screaming and foaming at the mouth. And he finally told officers that he was under the influence of LSD. Okay. I don't know that LSD does that to everybody. There's no telling what he was actually under the influence of. Oh, this is a good one. Shelley, what is your favorite Olympic sport?
Sports, huh? Really? I don't know.
Okay, Forrest, how about you? Shelley doesn't have one.
No, I really
winter
don't.
Winter or summer?
We'll say summer.
Let's just go diving.
Okay. Well, we have to take a break here. But believe it or not, and I'm not making this up here, there is a movement to make pole dancing an Olympic sport. See, finally, this is one I can get behind. Well, we're going to take that break. When we come back, I'll give you the details on that. And also why we have a problem here. Oh, gosh, it just won't go away with the furry creatures and the humans. interacting with each other in a way they're not supposed to. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. FCC regulated radio, and that's why we have to wait till a little later at night before we dig into some of these topics. So we're glad you decided to spend your evening with us, and maybe you want to hear this kind of content that the mainstream media usually shies away from. Maybe you don't, but it's all true stuff, apparently. I mean, we're not making it up. We're just finding it in various sources around the internet. And most of them are reputable sources. Not all of them, but most of them are. And those of you who are interested in expanding the mind and taking advantage of the internet and looking at new technologies, I implore you to check out the Wishing Machine. I made a little movie recently called The Wishing Machine. It's a device. It's a box. It's a wooden box with knobs on it. And it sounds crazy, but it's designed to make wishes come true. And don't just judge it immediately upon hearing about it. Go watch the video and see for yourself. It's free just to kick back and watch the video. Go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com and watch the Wishing Machine video. And then make up your mind. And you might be surprised. So before the break, we were talking about pole dancing as a new Olympic sport. NBC may soon have something to break up the breathless beach volleyball coverage. The International Pole Sports Federation is siphoning off the sex through stringent regulations ahead of a potential bid. For this to become recognized, I mean, seriously, they say that they're trying to be stricter to make sure this is respected, that there can be no dancing in, quote, an overly erotic manner. And they say banned, for example, is gluteal dance. Now, hang on, gluteal dance, is that just like jiggling your butt around?
Probably.
I mean, those are your glutes, right?
Yeah.
I'm not an anatomist here, but I believe I'm pretty sure that your glutes, when you're doing the old ghetto jiggle. Shelly's very quiet. Do you know Shelly? Is that a gluteal dance?
I'm thinking that it probably is, but I don't understand this whole thing about it can't be, what was that, overly erotic or something? Isn't that the point of pole dancing, really?
Well, you know, you bring up the great point here. I mean, by the way, they also say there can be no hats, canes, or anything that is not considered attached to the costume. So no accessories.
Well, I don't understand what it is that you can actually do to the pole with all their
strenuous rules. Well, you know, I've seen women race up and down a pole, and, you know, it's pretty amazing, but how many times can you watch that, right?
Right. And can you, like, get partway up it and then turn upside down and slide down? Is that, you know, is that okay to do? Because I'm thinking that they're gonna nix that.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like a bad idea, because I just don't know that there's enough you can do on a pole to make it worthwhile. And yet, the Olympic viewership would skyrocket. I know it would.
It would. People actually would watch the Olympics.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but have you ever been on a pole before, Shelley?
No, I haven't.
Forrest, have you?
No.
You've never, like, slid down a fireman's pole?
Well, yeah, I've slid down a fireman's pole, but have you?
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about that. No, I haven't. Tell us about that.
There's nothing much to tell. If there was a pole, I slid down it.
It was a pole, I slid.
Well, were you in the bat cave? I mean, where'd you get this opportunity?
The local fire department in Kings Mountain.
Uh-huh. And so how did this happen? I mean, you don't just walk into the fire department and say, I want to slide down your pole, sir. I mean, how did this happen?
Well, actually, one of the fire departments said, I'd like to slide down your pole, sir. No, actually, with the Boy Scouts, we were doing something with the Boy Scouts over at the fire department.
Uh-huh.
And part of our Be Prepared stuff, we got to slide down the pole at the fire station.
So, okay, now, were you scared when you did this?
No.
Were they gentle with you? I mean, when they put you on the pole, explain to me what it's like to just, I mean, because you don't know what's going to happen. It might hurt, right?
Well, basically, you're in a room up top above the where the fire engines are, and there's a pole, and there's a little door that opens when you slide down the pole, and you just slide down, and you're in the garage.
Mm-hmm. So were you controlling the rate of descent with your arms and legs, just squeezing it really hard as you went down, or what?
Pretty much. I mean, you could probably jump down there and be fine from the distance it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is it necessary to have a fire pole?
I'm sure it is.
Quicker than steps.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, or is it just tradition nowadays? Or maybe all they need is a big, like,
Josh, you should go to the fire department there on the west coast of Puerto Rico there and say, please, sir, I'd like to slide down your fire pole.
There's one right up the street. Well, they call them bomboneros.
Well, next week, when you come, when we do the show, I want you to tell me that you've gone to the fire station and said, please, sir, I'd like to slide down your fire pole.
Well, I mean, it's possible. I may do that. Or I might say, I might go in there and try to re-engineer things and say, what you really need is an ocean of balls here. Like the kind of at McDonald's where you don't even need the pole. The fireman just jumps and he lands in an ocean of little balls, and then he gets up and runs out and gets on the truck. Who needs a pole, right?
I think you'd like sliding down the shaft better.
Well, okay, we'll see. You know, maybe I'll do a little comparison. I'll go to McDonald's, I'll jump around with some balls, and then I'll go there and slide down the pole. But pole dancing, of course, whole different ballgame. But no, I've never been on a pole before. Next story. This comes to us from, oh goodness, Broward County, Florida. There are some charges here against some police officers because apparently these two police officers pulled over two drunk females and told these women that they could either go to jail or do the alternative, which was play a few little games. And one of those games is called Punch Me in the Genitals. And I know this is not what you were thinking, but yeah. The officer had the driver, one of the officers had the driver strip naked and punch him in the groin over and over because he said he liked it. And the second officer is accused of just, you know, getting it on with the passenger of the car. He's the more normal one here, right, Farce? the lesser of the two
lesser,
evils.
Yeah.
We understand that guy. So anyway, but they apparently said, you know, you can go to jail. It's 100% your choice. Or you can do this. Well, obviously, this whole situation came under fire because the GPS monitors on the cars alerted the staff at the police department that they were in an unusual situation and they weren't properly reporting back, et cetera, et cetera. But, hey, it looks like a nice option compared to going to prison, I guess. And then, here's one from Las Vegas. Woman there accused of getting it on with a man in a police van. So this woman is arrested next to a man in a police van. They're going down the road. There are eight other people in the van, and yet this woman is able to bend in a certain way, perform on this man. The cop said it's amazing because they were both actually hooked by their bellies into chain. But she said to the man, I promise, before we get to the jail, I'll make sure you're happy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, okay, I told you there the disturbing trend has to do with furry creatures. We'll get to that and some of the stories I've saved here for the end of the show. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strength.
I can't believe you're pregnant
life. Speaking of strange, the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And I tell you, this song you've been listening to is by Unknown Henson, our old friend, and I announced not too long ago that Unknown Henson had decided to never tour again. You remember that, Forrest?
I do.
He had done his last tour. That was that. Well, in the meantime, his wife, Margot, who I used to correspond with from time to time, who is also his booking agent, passed away.
Oh.
And so he has decided to go on tour again. And I guess he needs to get his mind off of things, and I believe he is coming to Asheville's Grey Eagle in October. So, Shelley Wright, you still have never seen Unknown Henson in concert, right?
No, but I want to.
I don't even know how many times I've seen him in concert. I know, Forrest, you've seen him many times in concert.
Yes.
Has Kelly seen him in concert?
She's not, but she wants to see him.
Well, we got to do it then, guys. We have to, because this may be seriously the last time. So we got to go see Unknown Henson. Okay, last series of stories. Forrest, do you know what a furry is?
Yes.
You do? How do you know that?
I think we've talked about it on the show before, about the people that like to dress up in different animal costumes.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I tried to block that out of my mind. Well, in Idaho, what's that, Shelley?
I was going to say, well, there was that CSI episode, and everybody knew what furries were. Ben, I digress. Go ahead.
All right, well, a 28-year-old man, a furry, a guy who likes to dress up as a dog, he calls Bubblegum Husky, is in charge there because apparently he has been having sex with his cat on a number of occasions. Isn't that weird? He dresses up as a dog and gets it on with his cat. Okay?
I think it's supposed to work that way.
I mean, I've seen similar things in nature. But not with a human. Costume.
Dressed up as an animal now.
Right now, Alaska state troopers are seeking a person who molested a fair horse. They say this is a 10-year-old horse, a female, and the horse's name is Oh Shirley You Just. I know, it doesn't make sense. That's her name. They call her Shirley. She belongs to the 4-H Youth Development Program. And they'd heard some disturbances near her stall. A vet did investigation and exam, and they said, yeah, you know, somebody has abused this horse. And so they're patrolling, and if you know anything about this, well, there's an APB out. Next story comes to us from the Dominican Republic. If you've ever maybe passed out drunk and woken up and couldn't find your car keys and you thought that was bad, well, listen to this. A man in the Dominican Republic told a news station that he passed out drunk and he woke up with no penis.
Huh?
Yeah. He woke up with no pee bogger. He was 45 years old. They say that he believes he was attacked by a dog when he was drunk. And they believe that it made off with his most precious parts. They say that in late July here, a paralyzed man in Arkansas woke up to discover that his dog had eaten a little part off of his as well. And
how do you sleep through something like that?
Well, you know, that woman slept through that dog eating her face off, the woman who had a face transplant. So that's a, you know, that's a good solid drunk with some sleeping pills, I guess. But, you know, I read this story about a guy, you know, waking up, guy losing his penis, and then I read this story from Florida, and I wonder, oh, are we going in the same direction? It's about a drunk man on his way to jail attempting to urinate out the window. 23-year-old man handcuffed in the back of the patrol car. Had to go really, really bad, but he wanted to be courteous. So the window was cracked, and he stood up and tried to go out the window. But instead, everything, of course, blew back in all over the officer and everything in the front seat, the laptop, the computer. And basically, I have a feeling that this is how police brutality begins. But that's going to do it for this edition of the program. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. So next time we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter. And tune in next week for a brand new one. Our command!